nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where online and student ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and updates on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today, heroes, I'm really excited to bring back my friend Stan Rada. Actually, Stan and I did this a few weeks back, and we're actually doing it again today, where we're actually sharing the same content. We actually interviewed each other, and we're talking about Easter preparations, last-minute Easter preparations. As you know, right now, you are in the thick of it. You are right in the middle of it, and you're stressed out, and all the things are going crazy, and you might be forgetting something. So Stan and I decided to join forces together and just throw out a bunch of things that we're doing last-minute preparations for Easter. So it's really great chatting back and forth. We go from a high level to a very low level about just last-minute things we should be working on so that Easter can be awesome, but then also for the weeks beyond that can be just as great. So I'm really excited to have Stan back on the podcast. We're going to be talking about Easter. And so let's get into the interview right now with Stan Rada. Hey, everyone. This is Tom.
Hey, hey, everybody. Stan Rada here.
Hey. That was a long, like, Stan Rada here.
You did it on my show. I was trying to just...
But this is our show.
This is our show. Yeah, I guess.
This is the special Tom and Stan show today.
The special Tom and Stan show.
Anyways, well, it's nice. But because it's a special Stan and Tom show, because we've got similar content that I think it would be good for us to be sharing about.
I totally agree with that. Makes this much easier.
Okay, well, Stan's...
We're basically co-hosts. You know,
in some ways, but we're co-hosts of the same lead.
Co-hosting that's true.
We do our lead from second.
We could toss this out there. You know, yeah, it's a co-host deal.
So if you're listening and you're a campus pastor and you're not a part of the lead from second group on Facebook,
then what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, we'll have it on our show notes, and so you definitely need to be connected. Man, are you drugged up or something like that?
No,
I know you're missing teeth right now. Why again? Okay, so in Stan's podcast, he's been awesome, gotten some great stuff out there, but he's missed a few weeks. Why have you missed a few weeks, Stan?
I missed 2 weeks of the show because a couple Fridays ago I had oral surgery, and I'll spare you all the gory details because they did get very gory. But basically, they ripped these teeth out of my mouth, and I got so like swollen I couldn't talk without drooling on myself, and like all this weird stuff went down. So I was like, I can't mumble in a podcast. So I bailed on it for a couple of weeks.
Well, and refresh my memory. It was supposed to be like a 20-minute like operation, and ended up being 2 hours or something like that.
Oh yeah, no. They were just gonna pop a couple teeth out real quick. They said maybe 40 minutes, maybe an hour. Just pop them out real quick, and you'll heal up in a few days. And then there were these complications. I was in there 2.5 hours, and it's still painful. So I don't know what happened. There's a whole bunch of gross details that nobody cares to know.
Yeah, and see, and this week is the one week that you don't want to have problems with your teeth because it's Easter.
I know, it's coming up, man. I got to get my mouth fixed. Oh, and on top of that, on the Saturday before Easter, the 15th, I'm preaching a wedding for some friends of mine from the campus, and so I've got a wedding that day, and then I'm preaching 3 services for Easter. I'm like, my mouth needs to get fixed, like, right now, because I don't have any more time.
I wish you could see a picture of Stan right now, because it looks like he's dipping. It looks like he's dipping.
It does look like I'm dipping. It's all swollen. Yeah, it looks goofy.
All right, well, as we get into this whole conversation today, the topic is about Easter and last-minute preparations for Easter. And you were actually, Stan, you were doing a series on your podcast about Easter. What was that all about?
Oh, I was trying to lead up to Easter. I had a series called All Things Easter, and I had a couple of different guests on. We were talking through some different topics. So we had, like, we were talking about some of the Easter events we have. We were talking about promoting. I had Ben Osterhaus on from Brand Army, and he was talking about promoting your Easter, basically how you stand out in the crowd with all your Easter stuff. So there was Easter promotion, Easter events, how to make it a successful event. We had all these things going, and then And then I had teeth ripped out of my mouth. Yeah. And I stopped.
And you stopped. Well, now you're back in the game.
No, I'm back in the game. I'm back in the saddle.
And this is great because it's last-minute preparation.
Last minute, man. You got a week to go.
Okay, so we're going to come at it from two different perspectives. You're going to be the campus pastor. Pretend to be a campus pastor for a minute.
I got to pretend. I got to pretend to be a campus pastor.
Stan, this is your last week before Easter. What are you stressing about? What are you thinking about? What are you processing right now?
My biggest stressor at the moment, simply, I'm always concerned about the message. I'm always concerned about the sermon, simply because, for me at least, that's one of those, it's sort of like Christmas where you're preaching the same, kind of roughly same story every single year. Yeah. And so it's kind of that, maybe it's not in every single pastor, but inside of me is this kind of innate drive to make it creative or different from the last year. And so, and then also at New Life, we're involved in the story. So if you've looked ahead at the calendar, 6 weeks after I preach on Easter here, I'm preaching on the resurrection and the story.
Okay.
So within 2 months, I have to preach the story twice. So I'm trying to find so I'm kind of stressing about getting that part of it, nailed down pretty solid.
Wait, let me ask you this question. Do you spend more time on your Easter sermon than regular sermons?
It's probably roughly the same. I spend a little bit more time trying to come up with a somewhat creative angle, something to where we can, something that's not necessarily the same every single time. But then again, there's also the other side of that that's like, why do you need to change the Easter story? There's so much power in the resurrection. You don't need to change it. Just and that's true too. So, we preach it as it is in Scripture, obviously, but there's just something about trying to tweak it so that it feels like, okay, this is a kind of a fresh perspective. This is a fresh, connection with God through the story or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so the sermon's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you always have to worry about attendance because there's always more people coming.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for attendance? So, you're at your church right now.
Right.
What are you thinking about for attendance and chairs and stuff?
Right now we've already, the thing we're wrestling with is we've already basically said at this point in the game, the people who are going to come are going to come. And so there's not really a whole big push for us on trying to capture that last minute person who's trying to decide where to go. Cause for the most part, people know they have family members at a certain church. They're going there. People have already decided for the most part. So for me, I think we ran almost 450 at our campus like the last couple of years, maybe 385 or something, one of those years. And we've been praying and pushing and planning for 600.
Okay.
Now, that's a really big push for us. It's a really big dream. It's a really big, I guess, kind of a goal. But we've been praying for 600 people. And what we've done is simply we've actually shifted our entire room into basically an angle so that we had more room to add more chairs. So we're at a point where we easily are in a position to double our attendance without even really trying. Mm-hmm. And we meet in an elementary school, so not everybody has that luxury. But we just took it from a square room, shifted everything into a corner, and now we have much more room to kind of spread the chairs out. So in terms of preparing for additional people, we've made some shifts in the room that way, and it's immediately allowed us to set up almost twice as many chairs. And so we're really, I think, probably pretty good on that part, hopefully. But, yeah, that's a concern, is making sure you have enough chairs.
Okay, well, now talk to me about welcome and first impressions. Are you doing anything different on Easter to make a good first impression?
Yeah, this is the one part of the conversation that I wanted to have the most of, and the one that part of it that I've been thinking the most about. So at Easter, I think what better be on everybody's minds, maybe above all else, especially if you're in ministry, is the newcomer, the person who may be coming for the very first time. They saw a sign, they saw a newspaper ad, and they're coming in for the very first time. And so the newcomer has to be on the mind of the pastor and the volunteers. Now, so what we're doing is we have a couple of things at New Life we talk about. One of those things to prepare for newcomers is we talk about park far, sit close. And you're aware of that language. We tell New Lifers, park as far away from the building as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And sit as close to the stage as you can get so that the guests coming in, newcomers, have the best parking place and the best seat in the back of the room.
Wait, why is the back of the room best seat?
I'm telling you what, man. Newcomers, I had a new person walk in the campus last week, first time, and the only people who are on time are newcomers.
Yeah.
Everybody else is late. And so they always come in on time or 15 minutes early. So you can always tell who's new anyway.
Yeah.
And they walk in and they sit in the furthest back chair they can possibly get in to get out as fast as possible.
That's right.
And so what we do is we say, if you're a new lifer, park far away from the building so that our guests have a nice first, the best kind of closest spot to park. And then sit toward the front of the room so that they have back seats in the back of the room so they can come in and have a nice seat. So we talk about park far, sit close. Mm-hmm. And what I think what I really want to say, we're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, we're changing up. We changed up our entire frontline area. We moved it into our auditorium, which actually probably quadrupled our space for frontline. We're adding bistro tables, places to have conversations. I mean, we changed up the entire room. Like, it's going to look completely different.
Is this just for Easter, or is this for in general?
It's for Easter, but then it's already gone so well, it's probably going to become the norm. But we made some significant shifts there, and we did that specifically to make room for people on Easter, for sure. But what I really wanted to say about all of that is, as much as the pastors need to be thinking and ministry leaders need to be thinking about newcomers, if the only time you think about newcomers in these terms is for Easter and you haven't created a culture of newcomers all year long, then what you're going to get is maybe 1 week of kind of a good show, you know, where people are extra nice to newcomers, but your culture isn't set aside for newcomers, isn't built for newcomers, and so everything the next week is just going to shift back, and anybody you even happen to capture is going to come back to a very closed-off, insider-minded church. And so really, as much as you need to do it for Easter, all year round you need to create the culture of, we exist for people who aren't here yet. And that's something we say a lot at New Life. And so when Easter rolls around, a lot of our people are already pretty much prepped from a year of being told this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they kind of jump into what needs to be done right away. And so we don't have very many issues with that. But I would encourage pastors beyond Easter on the culture of newcomers to make that's a weekly vision thing. And in this case, I think the culture of your church is going to absolutely destroy the vision of your church every day of the week and twice on Sunday. If you're not, that culture part will totally destroy your vision if you're not constantly pounding at, we have to shift this culture. So for what that's worth, I say go all out for newcomers on Easter. Yes, absolutely. But that also has to become a part of your culture in the church.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you said that, because that actually, as I reflect on that, I'm like, you know, we put all our eggs in the basket for Easter and for Christmas, you know, Christmas Eve, because those are the two biggest weeks, you know, kind of deal. But when you think about it, you're like, there's so many other opportunities throughout the course of the year that we miss because we don't prepare well. And again, for me as a ministry leader, like student ministry, for instance, you know, we're going to have all our flyers out, all our stuff. We're going to have some cool banners out. But it's not going to look much different than what we would normally do, because we try to be as overly prepared as possible with all the appropriate flyers, all the appropriate calendars, all the appropriate information for parents to get if their first time is Easter or not.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important that, I think what you said, the culture involved with that.
Yeah. It's going to be really hard to shift your church one Sunday a year or two Sundays a year into the mindset of, oh, we're here for other people, if that's not a 52 weeks out of the year kind of a thing. You know, 2 weeks out of the year, you might be able to get away with it, but that's not going to be a sustainable thing. So it has to become culture. And so that's something I wrestle with too, coming into Easter, is hoping our culture has kind of sunk in enough that our people are already preparing for newcomers, even before I tell them, hey, get ready for newcomers. Yeah. You know, so we say that all the time.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, then as we prepare for Easter, getting last minute things, How many more gray hairs do you get during the course of the week?
I don't know, but my wife says, "Hey, you're getting some gray hairs in your beard." So I mean, maybe.
I don't see any in your.
I have very few. There's just one or two along the side, and then a couple in the chin, and that's about it. But I may end up with a few more. I don't know.
What do you think about this? Okay, so we were challenged the past few years to think about next steps after Easter, that whenever you do something big, that what are you inviting them back to? What's the importance of that philosophy, especially in regards to Easter?
Yeah. No, I think it's really big. Some part of it goes back to the culture of what kind of church you're trying to create. But if a bunch of people come to your church for the one time show because they always go on Easter, but you don't have anything next for them to do, then the expectation for church leaders should simply be, great, we had big old numbers on Easter, but that again, once again, culture-wise, that's not going to be sustainable. You're not actually going to grow if you don't have something next for them to do.
Yeah.
And honestly, people just kind of need to be told, this is what's next. Here's what you do now.
Yeah.
And so I know at New Life over the last couple of years, we've really worked hard on those specific next steps. We've really pushed at those. So for instance, this year at our campus, every single person's going to have a couple different things on their chairs. We're going to have some stuff set up on our bistro tables, things that people can take with them, things that they can see what's upcoming, calendar of events, new things happening within our student ministry, whatever's going on. They're going to have that kind of information available. And then we've also really discussed something kind of big to try to grab people's attention, just to, because the more times people can come and be a part of what you're doing, the more likelihood you have of actually grabbing them, kind of keeping them around. And so we've talked a lot about next steps the week after Easter. What's something big that's upcoming? So the last couple of years, we've invited, big name guest speakers to come into the church, and we've brought them in and said, hey, we want you to speak this week. And on Easter, we use that as an opportunity to tell people, hey, come back next Sunday to hear. Boom, fill in the blank. This year it's Matt Eversman, and he's the Army Ranger who was one of the first guys leading a squad in to rescue the pilots of the downed Black Hawk in Somalia in 93. So, I mean, he's like an actual real-life hero.
Yeah, yeah.
And in our area, in Northern Virginia, especially with the high government, high military presence, that's a big deal for people here. So he's coming to speak at New Life the week after. So on Easter, we get to step up and talk, you know, boldly about Jesus and then say, hey, and by the way, if you want to get to know New Life more, you should come and hear this guy talk, because, like, this is the kind of church we are. Come back and hear this American hero speak. And the idea is to give them something next to come back for to be a part of. And that's all that is. It's just the next step. And then my campus, one of the events we planned for the end of April was simply say, okay, we know we have Easter, we know we have Eversman, and then what? So we went a third step out. What's next after that? And what we ended up doing was we've had a couple of things kind of creep up around us, some stories pop up that just made us more aware of kind of difficult topics that dance around the realm of mental health issues. And so we're actually hosting, in partnership with some other organizations in our county, we're hosting a kind of a community dialogue on mental health. And we're basically showing residents what is available for them in the county. What's a parent supposed to do when their 13-year-old, you know, says something that sounds like they're threatening suicide? Mm-hmm. Or what do they do when they say, you know, I'm so depressed, I don't want to get out of bed. What's a parent supposed to do? Because there's, you know, sometimes those words are not easy and those answers are not easy. So we said, let's be a church that's for our community. And after Easter and then after Eversman, if people want to come and see who we are and how we're trying to be for our community, then they can also come back and be a part of this event where we're just trying to provide information to them in partnership with these other organizations. So we've partnered with some people, with some great organizations, and said, hey, come help us host this event. And then now we can stand up at Easter and say, hey, you've come for Easter, now check out Eversman. And then at Eversman, we can say, hey, you've really been a part of some really fun stuff over the last couple weeks. Now come and see how we're for our community at this mental health conversation. So, that's kind of the next step stuff that I'm working on and trying to make as visible as possible. So,
yeah, and I think it's important because then they realize that, you know, things at your church are not just at Easter.
Yeah.
But there are some other cool things that are happening, whether it's a retired Army Ranger who's an American hero or not.
Right.
Or someone, you know, you're bringing them back to something. You're interesting them into coming back for another reason. Because, again, I've been a part of churches where our biggest deal, we would debrief after Easter. Now, how do we get these people to come back? Well, we didn't think about the next steps. So now, with a week beforehand, you still have time
time right now to think about what can you invite them back to. It's not too late to put together a flyer or something or informational brochure about what are some things coming up. Now, we have an events page on our website. You can bring them back to that. You got to be thinking about what can you bring them back to because you want them to come to know Jesus. Yeah. It may not happen just at Easter because they've heard that story a million times. Thus, that's why you have to put the creative spin on it.
Try to get a creative spin.
They know the story of Jesus. I mean, they come back, you know, but they come back for Easter. What will interest you in the coming back again?
Yeah, well, you absolutely have to get there. But here's the thing with what you just said. I've been trying to pay attention. I know there's been the big buzz about the millennials, right? There's been the big buzz about them, and you know, people outside of that generation who aren't a big fan. And how do you deal with them? How do you leave all this stuff? If you start paying attention now to what they're calling Generation Z. And that's the, like, late elementary age, middle school age, and some high schoolers now even growing up. They are going to be the first post-Christian generation raised in the country. And so even when it comes to thinking about Easter, pastors and church leaders are actually going to have to get to a point where they don't even assume that people have heard the story.
Yes.
Because these young kids, like, for real, they don't even know. I was listening to some I'm really upset. I can't remember the guy's name. I was listening to a guy talk about this, and if I find the resource, I'll add it into the notes. But there was a guy talking about it. He said, these kids now, this is going to be the first generation that does not say, hey, show me the seven historical reasons why the resurrection happened. Or they're not even asking that. They're saying, so what?
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. It means nothing to me. Yeah. And so even in how we tell the story, it has to shift. Because that it's going to become a reality where more and more the younger and younger they get, the more likely that they haven't even heard the story at all either. So that even presents a whole new challenge as well, because then you're speaking to people that have been coming to Easter their whole life, and then you got a crowd, you know, that's going to be coming up that doesn't have a clue, legitimately doesn't have a clue. So, I mean, there's a lot to consider even on that front. So.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole other podcast, buddy.
In my podcast, I actually talked to my friend Ben Kearns. He's got BenjaminKearns.online. He's investing his whole blog now into post-Christian stuff because it is. It's a really big issue and so forth. Okay, well, let me give you I was going to give you a few last-minute tips. I'm not talking now.
Why not?
Because just kidding. A lot of what
a
you said.
Last-minute tips.
Yeah. No. Well, here's the deal. I'll tell you this from a social media perspective. You can encourage right now your group. Whether you're a campus pastor or a ministry leader or a senior pastor, you can be encouraging people to share all about what you guys are doing on Easter right now on social media. Listen, people don't make a decision, even though they know whether or not they're going to church or not. They don't know sometimes where to go to church or whatnot.
That may be true, yeah.
Leading up to that week, you can be posting things on your church's social media account, encouraging people to invite people. You can create cool social media images. You can go to Canva, or you can go to Adobe Spark or WordSwag.
WordSwag, yeah.
Yeah, any of those apps. Anybody, again, Stan and I do not have creative backgrounds.
Hey!
We didn't go to school for creativeness.
No, we did not.
We don't know Photoshop, but we know these apps, and they're awesome apps where you can be sharing images and say, share these with your friends, invite them to Easter. Yeah. There's great opportunities.
And that's, I was actually going to say along with that, one of the reasons I use WordSwag is because it gives you all these options. You can do, 16:9 formatted widescreen stuff. You can do 3x4 flyers. You can also customize the graphic before you build it for, Facebook cover photos, Twitter backgrounds, all different kinds of social media outlets, and then you can plug in all these free graphics to it. They have a huge library of graphics you can search. It's amazing. And then hundreds of font options. So, I mean, honestly, WordSwag makes me feel like a designer, and I'm not.
It does.
It does.
WordSwag, Adobe Spark.
Canva's good, too.
Canva's good. Those ones are really good for anybody to use.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Every ministry leader, especially, and I feel like I'm talking to a lot of guys on my podcast who may be the only staff person at their church in many ways, smaller churches a lot of times, rural communities. Every single one of those guys should have these apps on their phone to help them create some sort of eye-catching kind of graphic about what's going on. So,
well, and my final part here, my final point, I guess, would be to say, our staff, New Life staff, Stan and I and the others, were challenged by our executive pastor or our Jamie, who's our COO, or I don't even know what titles are sometimes.
COO, that's correct.
Yeah, COO. He challenged us and said, hey, listen, if we're encouraging our people in our church to invite friends to Easter and we're not inviting people, we're having the ultimate fail.
Yeah.
And again, we're a week out, less than a week out. When you're listening to this podcast right now, you are less than a week out. You can still invite your neighbor to Easter service with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I gave away my five. I have my stories of my invites or whatever. But yeah, I mean, if you as the pastor, ministry leader, preacher, senior leader, whatever your title is, student guy, whatever, if you're going to stand in front of a bunch of people and say, go invite your friends, you better, gosh dang well, have your own invites going, because people are going to follow you if they think you're going to be a person of integrity, if they think you're doing this stuff with them. Mm-hmm. What they don't follow is somebody that just gives them a bunch of stuff to do and then stays out of the fray. Yeah. So, yes, it was a great challenge, and I agree with you. Everybody should be doing that as well.
That's good.
So we got to flip the coin to you, Tom. You haven't gotten to talk about student ministry or online stuff?
I did kind of share about it.
Okay, too. But you didn't talk about online, and there's a really big one we're doing that wraps its finger around the online social media world that you should also talk about.
Wait, what?
It's a big shout out to Text in Church.
Oh yeah, okay.
We're talking about dude.
Okay, well, wait, you're the expert in Text in Church. I use it.
I was trying to put that one in your court.
Okay, good. Well, you know, we actually just discovered something. Again, one of the things. Again, this doesn't actually. This can be done right now, to be honest, because hopefully you have a website and whatnot. But so one of the questions we asked ourselves: we have all these flyers, but again, we live in an increasingly mobile world right now. And so what would it be like if we could do one of those things? Like, I listen to, like, iHeartRadio all the time. And iHeartRadio all the time is doing this thing of, hey, if you want to go to this concert, type in FUN to 777-000-000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you type in FUN and you'll get a message back.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what if there was a way that we could do that? And so I presented this to our group thinking I was all smart and everything like that. And Stan was like, dude, I do that. It's called Text in Church. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So Stan and I started looking up Text in Church, but it's basically a campaign. So what we're going to do on Easter and then the very next weekend, Stan's been doing this a little bit already, but you know, during announcement times, you say, hey, you want to stay up to date and current on what's happening at New Life? Text Chantilly to this number. And we give them the number, and they'll text Chantilly, and immediately they'll get a text back. And it'll have a link to our events page and a link to our Get Connected card. And so we can capture their information. And then what can we do with that, Stan, then?
You can do a lot of things with it. One of the main things you can do is simply your very simple, basic text messaging follow-up, where they just, for even a couple of weeks if you want, you could do it for 6 weeks if you wanted, but even just a couple of weeks touching base with those people, keeping your name and what's going on in front of them. So we are focusing on very specific, again, we're talking about next steps. So we're going to give them opportunities like coming out of Easter, a reminder about our guest speaker, Matt Eversman. You've already mentioned the landing page thing. Yep. Hey, here's what's going on at the church. Discover New Life. Take five. Download New Life's app. All kinds of things like that to just put that New Life name back in front of them. And you can set this all up in advance. Yep. You don't have to monitor any of it. Now, you can also – it gives you the opportunity as well to capture a name and a number, maybe an email, an address, whatever you choose. But you can take that and – toss it into a database, and you have, you know, you've captured their. If they give you that information, then they want to hear from you anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And again, it's an easy step. The one thing I like about this text insert, it's an easy step, because right now, like we have a Get Connected card in our program and a prayer card in our program. Well, in order to do that, you have to get a pen. We don't provide you pens, although we should probably.
Maybe we should.
But you have to get a pen out of your pocketbook, you know, and then you have to write it down. Hopefully it'll work. And then you put it in the offering bag.
And who's carrying a pen?
Exactly. No one's carrying a pen. This one, it's right at your phone. You just get to open up your messaging app, type in the number, type in your keyword. You get something out. Easy stuff. Yeah. We live in an increasingly mobile world. This is the ideal thing for churches, because then you can take that data that you capture, whatever data you get, and you can import it into your own database, whether it's CCB or Planning Center or whatever it is that you do.
And you can customize all the text messages or emails that go out to people so they can get exactly what you want them to hear, upcoming event or a specific request or whatever. I mean, you can customize all that. So all of that is fantastic as well. I believe there's some other options out there besides Text in Church. I'm not sure what they are because I really like Text in Church. And I'm really hoping, you know, the shout-out gets me a discount on next year's premium.
Well, and it's very affordable.
It's very affordable.
Small churches can use them
because you only pay on an annual basis for the amount of messages or keywords that you need or email addresses you want to capture or whatever that information is. So you can go on the website. I believe it's textinchurch.com. You can head there and you can see all the different levels of kind of payment packages, and you can choose the one that's right for you and your church. If you know you get one newcomer a week about on average, you can pick a very kind of tailored plan to that need. And if you're a church of, you know, 10,000 and you have, you know, 100 newcomers a week, you can purchase a plan for that as well, as a lot of unlimited options. So they're a great ministry option for people to take advantage of.
Yeah, and again, there are other options out there, but again, the research I've done and then what stands on Text in Church does seem like it's a really good one.
Top notch, yeah.
And it's really easy to do as well. So, all right, well, I think that's a good kind of boot camp type of thing.
But I'm sweating. I talk through this. I'm sweating. I'm all worked up now. My blood pressure's high. Like, whoo!
I just like how Stan and I talked before this and said, hey, we'll take turns going back and forth. And I just turned the tables completely on him.
I
had him talking the entire time.
All the time. Didn't even get to you.
This is why I love doing these kind of things, because I get people to talk all the time. These are great. So, all right. So, thanks. I'm not going to say thanks for joining me, Stan, because we did this together. So.
We did it together. We get to share the content. Yeah. So, you know, thanks for being on my show, Tom.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being on my show. All right, here is. Well, there you have it. My interview with Stan. Well, actually, we interviewed each other. And actually, I don't know if you caught up on that, but right when I thought we were kind of wrapping up the time, he throws out, like, hey, let's talk about you. And so I was really like, I was thrown. So, but anyways, I hope you got a lot out of that. And I hope this actually helps take the stress off a little bit as you kind of start thinking about a few other things as you're getting closer and closer to Easter. Again, Easter is just a few days away. I know you're stressed out. I know you've got a lot on your plate, but hopefully these last-minute thoughts can help you so you don't forget something that might be really important for your ministry. So I hope you enjoyed it. But I would love to hear from you. What are you working on last-minute preparations? You can hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder, or you can even go on the Lead from Second Facebook group, especially if you're a campus pastor or ministry lead. We'd love your feedback on what you're working on. And we actually have it on the very top of our Lead from Second page. What can we be praying for you about? You know, we need to cover Easter in prayer. We need to cover these big events in prayer. And so we'd love to be praying for you. So get on the Lead from Second Facebook group. I've got a link in there in the show notes. But get on there and say what we can be praying for you about it. And Stan and I would love to be praying for you. And we'd have a lot of other people praying for you as well. So get on there. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode. I'm really excited about what we've got coming up in the very near future, because I've got some cool things happening as we're getting closer to Orange. That's right. The Orange Conference is coming up at the end of April. And I got some cool things that we're doing during Orange and leading up to it. So I'm really excited to share with you about that. Again, as always, if you like the podcast, subscribe to it. Get on iTunes and subscribe to it. You won't be missing out. Every Wednesday, I've got fresh content, fresh interviews coming up. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a great Easter, and I'll see you next time.